gardening expert and author Charlie Nardozzi joins us now. Greetings to you, Charlie.
And hi to you as well, Mary.
Let's chat about the tried and true raised beds.
Yes, raised beds is definitely the recommendation if you're growing vegetables, annual or perennial flowers. You're raising up the bed so you can bring in good soil. You don't have to worry about the native soil, whether it be clay or sand or rocks or whatever it is. You can build healthy soil there. You have a nice bed where the plants will grow better. You have fewer weeds, less work, less watering, warm up faster, all those different things. But let's talk about raised bed materials. First of all, wood is the one that most people use, and cedar wood would be the best one because it's most rot resistant, but it's very expensive. What we use is 2-inch diameter rough cut hemlock or spruce from a local lumber yard, and there are lumber yards around the area where you can get these. And these are nice because they last probably about 10 years. I've been replacing them here and there the last few years or so, and we get them so that they're at least 10 to 12 inches high. That's about the minimum, I would say, as far as the height of your raised bed. You can go up as far as 3 to 4 feet beyond that if you want to add more resources, but you want to be at least 10 to 12 inches high. There are composite woods, which are made from wood, recycled wood products, as well as plastics too. Those will last longer than regular woods. They're more expensive, and there is a concern about microplastics because they will eventually break down, and of course those plastics will get into your soil. The other one, of course, are pressure treated lumber, and that has changed over the years. You know, it used to be the CCA, the arsenic lumbers, were the ones that people were trying to avoid because of the arsenic in the soil. Now most of the pressure treated lumbers out there are copper based. Now copper can leach out of the wood into the soil and cause some toxicity in the first couple inches of the soil, but supposedly it is more safe than the old CCA woods and you can use it. I wouldn't do it though. I still am concerned about the biology of the soil, not just the nutrients, so I would stick with the regular woods. Galvanized or corrugated metals work really well. They're great for heating up the soil, so if you're having trouble growing things like sweet potatoes or melons and squashes and things of that nature, try some of the metal beds because that metal will heat up that soil. You have to be careful though, because if you're growing cool season plants, it'll heat it up too much and they won't like it at all. And then there, of course, there's masonry materials like bricks and stones and cinder blocks. They all work really well, but of course that's a pretty permanent raised bed. Whatever you do with the beds, make sure they're not wider than 3 to 4 feet so you don't step on the soil, and go out there and have some fun.
Okay, we've got some questions for you, Charlie. This first one from John in Brattleboro. John wants to know, spraying horticultural grade castor oil to repel mice in voles, will that also work against groundhogs?
I don't think so, John. I haven't seen any evidence that woodchucks or groundhogs would be repelled by that. You could try it, of course. The best thing to keep woodchucks and groundhogs out is a good fence. And you want to have the fence go down into the soil about a foot and then angle off on a 90-degree angle away from the garden so it looks like an L or an apron, and then put soil or mulch on top of that so that when the woodchuck comes up to the fence and wants to dig underneath it, it hits the apron. So that would probably be a better way to go than trying the castor oil.
Gene also has a castor oil question, wants to know if it'll harm toads and frogs in the garden.
Yes, unfortunately, it can. Most of the castor oil that's out there, the horticultural grade one, is diluted, so it's not necessarily the castor oil itself, it's all the other things that are added into it, the soaps and oils and stuff, and as you know probably, Gene, toads and frogs are very sensitive to any chemicals in the environment, so I would avoid using it in areas where there are toads and frogs, especially wet areas, or avoid using it totally if you can.
And this next question comes from Casey in Thetford. They have a dream to have a large, fast-growing fig tree that can help provide some shade and also provide some figs. And Casey writes, my idea was to build a large container for it that I could remove from the porch in the fall and put it in the cold basement with my tractor. The question is, am I better getting a warmer climate or colder climate variety?
Well, there really aren't warmer and colder climate varieties, but there are certain varieties that are more adapted to the cold. And those are the ones that I grow and many people grow. The one that's probably the best would be one called Hardy Chicago. It can last through the winter. We have it growing in the ground in our unheated greenhouse here in Addison County. And it came through this past winter without any problems. I do wrap it up with some blankets and things in the fall, but I saw live buds on it just the other day when I was looking at it. Brown turkey is another nice one. Celeste is a good one. Petite nigri is a dwarf one. It makes it a little easier to manage because it doesn't get as big. You want to protect it in the winter and bring it out around this time of year, put it in another protected spot, and eventually put it on that deck and enjoy some figs.
Write to us, gardening@vermontpublic.org. And listen to this wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Thanks as always, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.